the Senior Fellow for the Health Policies over at the Empire Center. William, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. I was about to turn in last night when I saw the first alert. Came from Fox. No surprise there. As far as the revelation of Lisa DeRosa having a meeting with Democratic state lawmakers and admitting with the word hid in there, and there's audio, that they hid the information regarding the nursing home deaths. To me, it was no surprise because we know that, in my mind at least, that there was a cover-up going on here. But give me your assessment.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what's amazing about this is that she was admitting, at least in this private setting with members of the legislature, that they had covered up what was going on. I mean, they had held back information that should have been available to the legislature and should have been available to the public for because of fear of the feds. They referenced the fact that the Justice Department was nosing around the situation, and they referenced the fact that the president was making an issue of it on Twitter and elsewhere. So it could have been it made it sound like they were afraid of criminal prosecution, but it was also they were afraid of becoming a political punching bag. But it's none of it comes close to being grounds for withholding basic public information from the legislature and the public.
We froze. That's what she had said. We froze, we hid. We hit the event. We froze. And explained that the then president, Donald Trump, you know, hey, according to her, she had been turning it into a giant political football. You know, he tweets that the state killed everybody in the nursing homes, paraphrasing a little bit of what Trump had tweeted. And we know that he was going at it with Cuomo left and right. I mean, they were never on the same page. You know, when Cuomo wanted something, when he screamed and cried and everything else, you know, Trump came through. Trump came through. I mean, it's fact. He came through with the ship, the comfort ship in the harbor, which was really hardly ever used. He came through the Javits Center. They cleared out and made 1,000 beds there, which would have been a great place, by the way, to house seniors. That was never put in play. You know, you think about everything that this governor blamed the president for, and you know something? Sometimes it comes back at you, and it did in full force last night. But you can't blame everybody. You got to look in the mirror once in a while. And you know what really disturbs me is, and listen, you know, the book, the award, pounding of the chest, flattening the curve, and everything else, you know, to me it all goes away on stuff like this because who knows what the number is, Bill? You know, I mean, is it 15,000? Is it 18,000? I mean, you know, who knows? But I think of all of these families who lost loved ones, and you look for leadership in times of need. You didn't get it. You thought you were getting it in the beginning, but you didn't get it. That's what I look at right now. What about you?
I mean, it does kind of trash the credibility of the governor, the credibility of his administration. It wasn't just the governor was holding back this information. It was also the health department. So the health commissioner and the people who work for him were part of this cover-up, if that's what it was. And I guess something else I'd like to point out here is that the rationale that was given in that meeting doesn't actually fit with the timeline. They started withholding this data in May. Reporters started asking about it in May. There were even some Freedom of Information requests in the spring. The legislature was asking about it. They called the commissioner in for a public hearing. And it was one of the first questions that came up. This was in early August. And the stuff that Melissa DeRosa was referring to in that meeting, the federal inquiry and the tweets and the criticism from the president, that came weeks later. That came in late August and early September. At that point, they had already been kind of sitting on this information for several months. And so I guess that's another problem with this explanation. In addition to being outrageous, it doesn't seem to be true. So it's kind of, it's hard to know. I don't think we still understand really what was going on. I mean, I suspected all along that part of the governor's rationale for holding this information back was purely political. He didn't want to take criticism, and he didn't want to fuel criticism of his policies, and he didn't want to make himself the target for Republicans and for the president in particular. I think he has made the situation many times worse. You know, the old saying after Watergate, the cover-up was worse than the crime. In this case, I don't think it's clear. Maybe other people disagree with me. I don't think that it's clear that there's any crime involved here, but the cover-up was much worse than made things much worse than they even were at the beginning.
And not only that, you know, think about the political high this guy was on, right, in the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, this was a guy who was touted by the party on the national stage as far as being a representative for the post of the president of the United States. Think about that. With all that was going on with Joe Biden and the debates and everything else, here's Andrew Cuomo coming up from the rear and saying, you know what? A lot of people had the spotlight on him. You know, he could. What an interesting confrontation that would be between Cuomo and Trump come November the 3rd, right? Remember, way back. I mean, think about the mountain this guy was on. The pedestal that we all put him on. He was riding such a high, his euphoria completely wiped out reality, in a sense, Bill Hammond.
Well, one of the ironies here, for me anyway, is that the attention that he got in the spring, the popularity that he gained, was partly because he was giving us on a daily basis, he was giving us information. He was sharing facts. And a lot of those facts were numbers. They were grim facts, especially at the beginning. The number of infections was skyrocketing, the number of hospitalizations, the number of people who were in ICUs and needed ventilators, and then, of course, the number of people dying. This was all really grim information, and he was going out of his way to tell us what was going on a daily basis. He was sharing data in real time. That, I think, was part of the key to why he had credibility. There was a contrast with the man in the White House. The man in the White House was downplaying the whole situation. When he did offer facts, they were often jumbled or outright wrong. So there was a kind of vacuum in terms of leadership that was going to reflect the public's concern about this situation, Cuomo kind of stepped into that vacuum, for better or worse. The thing is, the facts that he was giving us weren't always correct, and that became increasingly obvious as time went on. And then he went into a very kind of secretive, defensive mode, especially with respect to nursing homes. And that, as you say, that's severely damaging, if not destroying, whatever credibility he created on this issue, because it's becoming a serious scandal.
You know, it's on the same page, and we're talking with Bill Hammond, Empire Center, it's on the same page as Trump. You know, think about it. Trump, and all the good things he did, all the great things he did as a president, he did. As he handled COVID down the stretch, and then if you want to go into the whole insurrection January 6th, it wiped out pretty much everything. With Cuomo, you know, it's kind of the same deal here. You know, think about it. But let's not, you know, think about Trump, though, because a lot of people get on Trump for him being non-existent as far as the state of New York was concerned. I mean, think about it. I mean, I said this a million times. Javits, ship, the comfort, right? Army Corps, hospitals built, ventilators. Whatever Cuomo asked for, no matter how much bickering they did, the back and forth, a couple of meetings at the White House as well, Donald Trump came through as the hatred built between the governor and the president then. You know, the fact that he changed residences and everything else, he's not welcomed here, they hate him here. You know, Trump came through in a lot of ways. A lot of ways, Bill, for this governor. He did. Well, you can't take that away. That's fact.
Sounds like you and I might disagree about the quality of Donald Trump as a president. I will say that those things that he did, that the governor requested and that the president agreed to provide, they were important at the time. I guess I didn't think they were necessarily above and beyond the call of duty for a president in an emergency. They ended up, sadly, not actually being useful because they were mostly addressed at resolving. They were mostly addressed to resolving a crisis in hospitals that never fully came to fruition. Thank goodness. They were anticipating that hospitals would be overflowing with patients. That there were some individual hospitals that got quite full, but the system as a whole had room throughout the crisis. The peak did not get as high as people feared, and that's why Javits was largely unused. That's why the hospital ship was largely unused. The single most important step that was taken during the early stage of the crisis was the lockdown. It was a dramatic step. It was a difficult step. It took effect on March 22nd, and the pandemic peaked 3 weeks later, which is probably because the people stopped moving around and people started staying home and businesses closed.
Question. Listen. You know, let me say this. Cuomo did a phenomenal job in the beginning. I said that. Listen, we had him on a lot. You know, one other thing, you know, regarding this, you know, I had him on so many times that when I brought up the subject, you know, he was skittish about it. You know, when we set up interviews with the governor and everything else, they call us. Sometimes we would call them. He's been on with us. He was on with us more than any other outlet. That is a subject they did not want me to approach. They did not want me to approach it. And when I did, I got holy hell for it, by the way. And that was another signal to me. That was a signal to me that there were issues there, that there was a very cloudy picture. Now, let me just reiterate something that I said. You disagreed with it and whatnot. Listen, Trump was no Boy Scout here, okay? He handled COVID terribly. We know what happened down the stretch. We know the 450,000 deaths and everything else. He was more into the reelection process than he was with the COVID process. Warp speed was great, but the divvying out of the vaccine and everything else was anything but. And I blame Trump a lot for what's going on as far as COVID and how it was handled down the stretch run here of his term. The thing that I did bring up was it was the governor who made such an issue of things as far as how. Now, listen, all that stuff you said is true. You know, the president, you know, listen, did he do anything extraordinary as far as helping the state? No. But it was made such an issue from Cuomo's standpoint that it made Trump look good because of all the finger pointing. And I think that's the overall point I'm trying to make here. Go ahead.
I would agree with you that the governor used the president as an excuse for stuff, as a rationale for a lot of stuff he did was, I have to do this because the president. And that was what happened in that meeting the other day. They were basically saying, we couldn't share this information because we were afraid of what Trump might do with it. That doesn't wash. I mean, it's even if it were true, even if that's why they did it, that's not a good excuse. And I'm not sure it is why they did it. I think they just didn't want the information to get out. It wouldn't have been unreasonable to fear that it was going to be used as political hay by the governor's enemies, and among them would have been the president. He had a larger concern about, you know, looking bad and undermining his book sales and everything else. So you didn't need. I think it's revisionist history to say they were concerned about what the president was going to do, and that's why they withheld information.
All right, a couple of minutes with Bill. So, Bill, where are we at now? So we look at everything here. Your lawsuit, August 3rd, Kimberly O'Connor, Justice O'Connor's five-day deal. They come back, had a couple of little minor violations in there, not completely thrilled. Transparency still needs to be present. A lot of scrambling right now up in Albany. You know, you had the report that the state created the COVID-only nursing homes to treat the still positive patients after they're discharged from hospitals. You heard the State Health Commissioner Zucker revealing, was it Wednesday, in a letter to legislators that the department started to set up these COVID-only homes. This was back in November. You know, the AG report coming out 15 days ago, the changing of the numbers, the 8,700 and change, the 12,700 and change, more in line with Tisch's numbers of 13. Now it's 15,000. Where do we go from here? Where do you see this going from a legal sense? Do we see subpoenas? Do we see a stripping of powers executive-wise? Do we see a total impeachment process taking place? Where do we go? Where do you see this going in the next 2 to 3 weeks?
Well, one reaction I had to this, the Post story about the meeting, was that they were putting the legislature in an extremely difficult position, because they're now informing the legislature that they deliberately withheld information that they were required to provide by law, the Freedom of Information Law. It's not like it's a felony or something, but it sure sounds like, I mean, the implication of what she was saying was the fact that she brought up the Justice Department, that makes it sort of sound like we were hiding this information from prosecutors. I don't know if that's literally what she meant or if that's literally what they were doing. I believe they actually sent the Justice Department the information they were looking for, at least some of it. But that puts the legislature in the position of they can't tolerate this. They can't just say, oh, okay, well, that explains it. You know, they have to do something. And also, if you looked at the reactions from some of the members who were all the same party as the governor, they were not pleased, and some of them were not pleased with the governor going into the meeting. Their energy around this, it seems to me, has to shift. I don't know if it goes all the way to subpoenas, but they definitely have to do, it seems to me, some kind of investigation of what happened. And they have to, they're under pressure now to hold the governor accountable in a way that they weren't before. They seem to be in a mode, up until now, of, as they would put it, looking forward, not back. And that means passing a bunch of legislation and not asking too many questions. I think now they have to ask questions.
Not only ask questions, but you need answers. And if it's in front of a tribunal, well, guess what? Anything goes here. Because right now, this guy, and by the way, the media is just terrible coverage on this. And you figure that's one of the other problems that we're going through as a country right now. You know, we only report stories what we want to report stories on, who we want to report it on, you know, with these networks.
I mean, that's something else, you know, I'm going to have to disagree with you on, because...
Well,
you know,
who else is covering this, though, Bill?
Well, maybe I'm looking at different media than you. I mostly read newspapers, and I read a cross-section of newspapers around New York State, so I read some local papers in addition to the national ones. And there's been a ton of coverage of... And a lot of it quite critical, but some of it just kind of straightforward news reporting that related to the governor's nursing home policies and his withholding of information. It wasn't a secret to people who were following it the way I was.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I want to see the... Go ahead.
I would agree, but the governor goes on cable television. He gets kid glove treatment quite a lot.
And that's what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah. Yeah. And there
reporting
were a lot of glowing profiles. There were a lot of glowing profiles that I think people would want to have back during his heyday with the briefings and the Emmy Award.
That
got out of hand.
Listen, final thought from me here. This is a national story. I'm flipping channels here, and only one network is covering it, as you would think. Fox, okay? CNN's not going to do a lot on this, if anything. They're not going to do anything on it. And what about some of the other networks aren't going to cover this as much? That's what I'm saying. We are so slanted.
You're talking about last night's story?
I'm talking about the story that, so far this morning, not a lot of coverage in and around. Not a lot of coverage in and around. Outside
of
Fox.
I've noticed the same thing. I think part of the problem is that it was an exclusive. It was based on a tape that the Post had and nobody else had. It's not going to be easy to reproduce that. The national organizations you're talking about are probably trying to get that tape right now. I have no doubt about that.
No question. But you know what? You gotta tell the story. Listen, even when the AG came out the report 2 weeks ago, not a lot of whirlwind on this thing. Okay? Not a lot. Not a lot of stuff going on. So that gives you an idea where we're at media-wise. Anyway, more to come, I am sure. Can't thank you enough. Short notice again, Bill Hammond comes to the table. Bill, of course, does a wonderful job. Senior Fellow of Health Policy for the Empire Center, the Watchdog. Bill, we're not done with this yet. We'll talk more. Thanks so much for coming on.
Been a pleasure.